The gospel reading is Mark chapter 10, verses 35 through 45. James and John, the son of Zebedee, came forward to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." The word of the Lord.
I know I've mentioned before that in the fall of the year, all the pastors and the deacons go out to Medora, and we have a retreat out there, rostered leaders retreat. And we have pretty much the whole town to ourselves, and we hear some wonderful speakers, and you can explore the beauty of the park there. But in the evenings, we kind of adjourn to Boots there with the restaurant bar and have a beer or two and talk shop and all that sort of stuff. Well, a while back when I was alone here as a pastor, it was before we were able to call Pastor Nate. Everyone knew Trinity was looking for another pastor. So I'm at the bar there in Medora in the evening chatting with some people. And all of a sudden this one pastor that I know who he is but didn't know him really well came up and sat down next to me and said, "Can I buy you a beer, Steve?" And I'm like, "Great, why not?" Well, then he sat down, and you got to be polite, and I'm chit-chatting with him. And all of a sudden, I realized that there was an agenda here. He was applying for the job and trying to make that connection. And on the one hand, that's great. On the other hand, I was like, "Oh, no, because you don't really have quite the gifts or the age or whatever to fit into Trinity, and maybe not the personality either." So very quickly, I started thinking, I was changing the subject very quickly, and pretty soon was saying, "Oh, look at that group over there. Let's go over and see what they had." And so tried to get myself out of that conversation. What was so wrong with that? Well, because he wasn't just being friendly. He wanted something, right? This was going to be a transaction. You know, as much as we may admire the art of the deal, we don't like ourselves personally constantly being marketed to, constantly having someone try and sell something to us, right, do we? One of my pet peeves is this. The other day I got a call from my credit card company saying there was some unusual looking activity with my account, and so they were canceling that card and issuing a new one just for safety's sake. Well, you get the new card, and there on it is the big sticker, you know, call this 800 number to activate your card. And so I do that, and what they always do is once you enter in your stuff, you think, well, it could be instantaneous like that to activate the new card, but instead they make me listen to a commercial for something that they want to sell me. They're not just there to offer me a service. It's one more chance to make money off of me. Well, Jesus knew the feeling too. And he got put in that kind of a situation in this story for today, didn't he? Two of his disciples, James and John, come to him with a request. And what a request it is, you know. "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." That's a red flag, isn't it? Anyone who's been parents of kids, you know, when they really want to make a big ask of you, they come up to you with kind of a very specific way of kind of prepping you for that. And you know, you see it coming. You know there's going to be a big ask. And so Jesus goes, "Okay, what do you want?" And what they ask is this: "Grant us to, to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory. Wow, the nerve of them. They were expecting Jesus to be the new king of the Jews, literally. And when he came into his power, they wanted to be his right-hand man and his left-hand man, the two most important people in Jesus' new kingdom, his new administration. They were, in effect, making this a transaction, weren't they? They were saying to Jesus, look, we've been following you. We've thrown our lot in with you. We've been supporting you, doing all the right things. So, don't we deserve something? And Jesus says, no, that's not how it works. Faith is not and cannot be a transaction. He makes it clear that even if he had wanted to grant their request, he could not do it. As he says, to sit at my right hand or my left hand is not mine to grant. Even Jesus isn't in control of the process of this world. That's not how things work. No one can bargain with God. That's not what God wants. That's not what we need in our lives. You know, we tend to think that Jesus was kind of striking a bargain with God. He was so good, he was so obedient to his Father, that even when he went to the cross, he was racking up some extra goodness, and he had all these brownie points, and he could give those to us for our salvation. No, that's not how it works. God is not transactional. God is relational. And that's what we really crave. Jesus wasn't making a deal with his life, because any transaction in faith is going to be false. He was purely and simply living out what it meant to be a beloved child of God. He was showing us that simple openness and trust to the love of God that's already pouring our way would eventually open everything to him and to us as a gift. Jesus was living an other-centered life, not seeking to be served, but to serve. And he says we must do that too if we are to live the life that we need, that we ultimately want in our lives, that God intends for us. Of course, this means letting go of control. And that's the hard thing. And I think that's what the cross is all about. Jesus never bargained with God. He just always placed everything in God's control, into God's hands, and lived out of that trust, out of that assurance. And guess what? It always resulted in life. But you know what we call that giving up of control? We call it suffering. Suffering is more than just the pain that we may feel going on in our lives, whether physical or emotional. The suffering is that we don't feel in control anymore. And that's exactly what Jesus said it was going to feel like. He said the Son of Man came to suffer, to give up control, and to die. And that didn't mean just physical death, but to hand over his life in total trust to God. It was not a bargain, but this giving of control to God gives absolute freedom. You know, this desire for control, what it really is just protecting our own little egos when it all comes down to it, right? And our ego is a very small thing when we consider it in relationship to the whole world, to what God is doing in all of creation. And our little ego can't make us happy, can it? Our little ego says, I want this. If you get me this, then I'll be happy. As soon as you get that, guess what? Your ego is already bored with that and has already jumped to the next thing and said, I want this little shiny thing to make me happy. This achievement, this thing I can buy, this recognition, this notoriety. But if we attach only to the ego, we are going to be horribly disappointed. And we're going to disappoint others. We'll hurt ourselves and others. What was the reaction of the other disciples when they heard that James and John were asking Jesus for the right hand and the left hand? Did they sit there and say, oh, those guys are so great, they work so hard, they really deserve those positions? No, of course not. They became jealous. They became focused on their own little ego needs, and they came crying to Jesus, and Jesus had to say again, it's not about that. Jesus said, let go of the commitment to ego, and you will know freedom, because the dying, the letting go, is the rising or the receiving. We are free from the need to provide for security, affection, and control. So often we stand in our own way of what God really wants to give us. As you know, I'm going to retire soon. And as part of that, you've got to get your financial house in order, or so they tell me. And so all sorts of people want to help me with that. And I've read insurance brochures, and I've talked to financial planners and all this and that. And there are some decisions you have to make. Am I going to take retirement now or take it later? And what are the odds? You know, what are the benefits of either of those? What if, what is the best insurance to buy now to supplement Medicare? All this and that. Should I buy an annuity now? Should I draw from my retirement accounts? How do I get all this set up? And I'm not good at finances, so it has been causing me stress. Until all of a sudden I'm reading this text and I realize, here's what the situation really is. God has blessed me. God has blessed me with enough resources to be able to retire. That's the basic reality. God wants me to know those blessings, to enjoy those blessings, and to stop worrying about this so I can take a step back and breathe. It doesn't all have to be figured out now. There isn't just one way of doing it. It'll fall into place. But just let that go and have the freedom to rest in the financial security and in the freedom that retirement provides. Along those lines, I recently went to an interesting event here, the Game Changer event that was held here in town. And they bring in nationally known speakers, and one of the speakers was just excellent. He had written a book. He'd gone around and researched families that raised children with different challenges in their life that they brought to the family. So he interviewed parents who had given birth to deaf children, children who were autistic, children who were gay, children who had Down syndrome, children who were genius level children, and talked to them about the challenges of their life. And one thing he found is that all these parents felt so isolated that, I've got this deaf child and I've got these unique problems. But as he put it all together and looked at all these, there are so many people who are dealing with challenges in their life and they need not feel alone. And the amazing thing that he found, and maybe it isn't that surprising, but it was just heartwarming to know that almost all of these families realized that letting go of the child that they thought they should have, this image of this perfect child, letting go of that allowed them to accept and to love and be blessed by the child that they had. The letting go gave them freedom. Once we let go of what we think we need in life, we're free to receive from God what we really need. Love, relationship, not bargains or trades, but only a pure gift. It's as simple as this. How do we expect to be blessed by God if we're holding on with closed fists to the little things that we think will give us value in life? God says, dare to let go of those and receive what you really need in your life. Years ago, when I was in church in Minneapolis, the choir one Sunday sang a song, and over the years I've just remembered the powerful, powerful image of that, which I think sums this all up well. The words went, a rose when touched by the sun's warm rays, all its petals gently does unfold. So you, when touched by God's great mercy, let joy and gladness win your soul. Amen.